the political pawn, the concept of it, has been around a very long time. And in fact, it's an old Washington tradition. Whenever things go badly, you sacrifice a pawn because it helps to buy time, divert attention, and it allows the bigger pieces to kind of reposition themselves. Being a pawn, a political pawn in D.C., has nothing to do with the appointee's, rank or their status within the government employee community, because it has to be a significant enough position for the opposition to feel that it's got a head on the chopping block. And, if you look at how things are going right now, you and I have talked a lot about the Obama economic plan on the radio and how it's not going that well. The jobless numbers are at 9.5% and they're expected to rise up to 10. The stimulus is having trouble delivering the results, mainly because only 15% of the funding's got out there, but that's still a problem. There aren't a lot of shovel-ready projects. You've got the TARP and the bailout having problems. The deficit's growing. The small businesses aren't really seeing their share of the stimulus. And nobody's really saying it aloud, but you can sense there's a feeling of who's the pawn, when's he or she going to be sacrificed? And so, things aren't looking that great. And the numbers, of course, just came out today. I guess, there's two or three, it's on Federal News Radio's website, that the poll numbers are even showing that the popularity is going down. So this might be a perfect time for the president to consider doing something to divert attention.
Okay, so that means that the pawn would be in the financial and economic area. You taken any bets on who it might be?
Well, of course, two folks come to mind almost immediately. In the small business area, this is a place where there's a lot of initiatives that, are going on but don't seem to be getting anywhere. And the small businesses are angry because the president promised them opportunities from the stimulus, and it's becoming clearer that instead of getting opportunities, what's really going to happen is an increase of taxes on the small businesses and entrepreneurs to pay for all of this new governmental spending and energy and healthcare. And so they're, small businesses are getting angry. They're talking to their congressmen. And so you can bet that Karen Mills, who's the head of the SBA, is going to be taking a little heat, especially in light of what recently happened about their streaming video having to be shut down because of everybody listening to Michael Jackson's memorial. But the one that's in the news today...
You mean the employees were listening to it?
Yeah, it was just really strangely out of control. But today, with budget problems, you've got Ben Bernanke, the head of the Fed, and he's been trying to be this calm voice of reason, steering our way through. And he seems to be doing a really good job. It's just that he's not talking a popular story because he's saying, there might be a need to raise interest rates. They clearly don't want to do that. He's a carryover from the previous administration, and that kind of works against him. He's going to be testifying today on the Hill, back-to-back sessions. That has got to be hard, Senate Finance and House Finance. And in fact, today, you see him making the media rounds, and today he's got an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. He's going to his base trying to reassure them and raise their confidence. So maybe he can protect himself, but maybe not.
Well, yesterday, Loretta, I was watching several of the news channels, and I was telling Tom about this earlier. They ran a special segment about Larry Summers, and that Larry Summers really wants to be the Fed chair. And they were talking about the possibilities of him being confirmed and would he make it through a Senate confirmation hearing. So maybe there's a little bit more to the Bernanke pawn piece than really just pure speculation. I mean, the timing is really unusual for a story to run that long on a cable station.
You're right, Karen. I didn't actually catch that myself, but that absolutely would sort of support this theory, because one of the other things is that, when you axe the pawn, it's usually not a member of the inner circle, because, that's the whole thing on a chessboard. Everybody protects the king. Everybody, the major pieces are protected, and the pawns are the ones you send out there. They've got to move, that really desperate, circuitous path down the board, clearing the way for the other pieces. It's pretty, pretty complex. So.
Yeah, so we're not talking an Orsag, a Larry Summers, or someone that close.
Oh, no.
This is not a Burt Lance moment, remember back to the Carter administration.
This is one where you really are thinking about how it works on a chessboard, because the whole purpose of a pawn is their goal is to protect the king. Because if the king goes down, the whole thing's over. So you've got to, and then of course you've got your higher pieces like your bishops and your knights and your rooks, and you can figure out in your mind who's who in the administration. But believe me, those guys are not the ones going down. I mean, the thing about the pawn is they're pretty much unknowing. They're usually surprised when things happen, and Sure. You know, obviously there are some who are aware it's coming and they try to avoid the axe hitting them. But the one thing I can almost guarantee you is within the next 90 days, Obama's going to sacrifice somebody.
We're talking with Loretta Doan, former GSA administrator and Federal News Radio commentator. And real quickly here, you have a couple of cheers and jeers today. First, your jeers, and we already mentioned this, to the Small Business Administration.
Yes. The only thing that's so awful about that is right now the president fought to get government workers a 2% raise at a time when no other American worker is getting a raise. Half of them are just fighting for their jobs. And the small businesses have, you know, are not getting their share of the stimulus. They're under a lot of attack. And so for them to be taking time off, and the memorial was quite long, to the point where you've got so many people watching the streaming video that they have to actually shut it off in order to discipline people to go back to work, is a disgrace.
Okay, well, we'll leave that one right where it is. And then you have a cheer today as well for Buzz.
Yeah, you know, the only thing is Jane would have probably loved it too, because you know how she loves NASA, but he wrote the most brilliant op-ed in the Washington Post.
I read that.
Because what he's saying is, you've got to dream big dreams. This is what our country is about. And these shy goals that they have, these manageable accomplishments that do nothing but repeat what was done 40 years ago, you know, NASA was built for bigger things. And what he also says is government workers can rise to the challenge. They want the big, you know, hairy, aggressive goals. And why doesn't NASA give it to them? Because they really could get it done, and we could be doing great things, not just for our nation, but to inspire the world. And you couldn't help but think that Buzz Aldrin really does have the right stuff.